And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Hallinan. He's one of the employee and owners of Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We're here till 11 o'clock and they're commercial free for the moment, thanks to GoNetSpeed.
Oh.
And that may end in the middle of September, but we're very happy that they're here supporting us now. But if you are a company looking to support what we do out there, we'd love to have you sponsor the program going forward in this way. So we can be commercial free for the audience and get a little more in depth and, you know, talk a little more about the items that, you know, we could talk about when it comes to technology. So, but we do appreciate the support from GoNetSpeed for the past quarter.
Oh, yeah, and they're a great company.
Great company. I love them. I love them to death. And, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. But if there's any other opportunities out there for folks, keep that in mind. But feel free to get online, 860-289-8850. Nope, that ain't right. 860-522-9842. I just gave you our phone number at Deb. 860-522-9842 is the number. And feel free to get online. Stream of consciousness there, Dennis. That's radio, right? We're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. But as usual and customary, we have some technology news for you. And this story, you're not going to believe it.
Yeah. This is really unconscionable.
Yeah.
Here's the situation.
Yeah.
City of Columbus, their IT systems were hacked.
Yeah.
Somehow. Mm-hmm. Possible ransomware attack, but definitely something happened.
Right.
And that was a couple weeks ago that was revealed.
Right.
At the time, the mayor of Columbus, Ohio, announced that, well, yes, we were attacked. We were breached.
Yes, of course. Very upfront and open.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you. Explain that. You know, it's nice to know if you're breached or not.
Yeah. I mean, he went right out and said, oh, yeah, we were breached.
We were breached.
Yep.
Yes.
But the hackers only got corrupted or encrypted data.
Really?
And it's no good to them.
Oh, wow. That sounds very fortunate.
They can't do anything with it.
That sounds fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually great news because that's ultimately what we want to happen in situations like that.
Right, which means
we
that...
We want, you know, hackers to get into something, but they can't do anything with it because it's encrypted or secured in some way.
Well, or corrupted. So what the mayor is saying is that their IT systems have poor hard drives and they're writing garbage to the drives being corrupted.
Because it's corrupted.
Or
right.
The hackers only got the encrypted drive, meaning they only got in when the machines were...
Off.
Well, that don't make no sense.
No.
So what he's saying is they broke in, walked down the hall, went to the IT room, and grabbed the hard drives while the machines were off and took them. So those two things kind of sparked a little question mark in some people.
I wasn't buying it at the time. I mean, there's just no way that's true.
Correct.
Now, There was a cyber researcher who kind of agreed with that principle that it couldn't possibly be true.
Hackers don't get into systems that are encrypted that are off, but go ahead.
So what did he do? He followed through on the hacker's claims.
Yes.
He fired up his own method of getting to the dark web.
Right.
And he found a sample of the data that the hackers had posted.
Right.
As part of their effort to auction off the real data, all of it, they wanted a lot of money.
6.5 terabytes of data they say, and they want some money for it.
Yeah, they want upwards of a million more for it.
And they'll pinky swear if they pay it not to release it.
Right. Now,
and it's not going to be in real money, right? It won't be like dropped in cash.
No, it's in Bitcoin.
Yeah, of course. The lovely currency of the bad guys.
Yeah. At any rate, now. This researcher goes, finds it.
Yeah.
He collects a little bit of it.
Right.
And he
starts, researchers might do.
He does a couple of things. Number one, he starts following up on it. He's trying to verify some of this data.
Right.
So he's calling up a few people and saying, hey, I saw this here, and do you live at this address? I don't even know what he asked, but something like that. He's following up to confirm whether the data is real.
Right.
He found that it was. So then he starts contacting local media in Columbus, Ohio, and letting them know, hey, there's this real data there. It's real, and it isn't encrypted and it isn't corrupted. It's actual data that's being auctioned off.
So wait a minute, Dennis. Is it possible here that the mayor of Columbus is gaslighting his own residents and are offering what's called misinformation?
Yep.
Oh, gee. Oh, we should probably want to. We should probably want to expose that. We would probably go to what, the media, the folks who are supposed to be the arbiters of data,
yes,
of what's possibly real or false.
I'm, according to what I've seen, the local media in Columbus have been all over this.
Gotcha. So they took his data,
yeah,
and they reconfirmed it.
Yeah.
Double-checked his sources.
They've been releasing stories about it.
Yes.
So guess what the city of Columbus did?
Well, the city probably said, we're sorry. You know that. You know what? You're right. Our IT people didn't know what they were doing. And we apologize for this problem. And we thank Mr. Goodwolf, the researcher here, for pointing out this, right? Is that what they did?
No.
Oh, no? What did they do?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
They sued him.
Oh, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. They sued him.
They want him to shut up.
Because he is risking people's safety by releasing this data.
Wait a minute. What? The data that they say is corrupted and encrypted is now risking the safety of the residents because
yes.
he is pointing out that it's real?
Yes.
And they're suing him for that.
They're suing him on the basis of the data being actual.
Right.
When before they had said that it was not usable.
Yep. And we're not making this up.
No, this is not a lie. This is what they did. And, of course, the judge who got the filing said, okay, I'm going to place that order. And so now the guy has been silenced.
He's been silenced. He's been gagged. He's been injuncted.
Right.
He can't talk about the actual truth.
One of the worst parts about this is you read the filing.
Mm-hmm.
It insinuates that because he has involvement with the dark web,
right,
that he is a criminal himself.
Because it's by association, Dennis.
Right.
Yeah.
I have to say there are probably a couple hundred thousand cyber researchers in the world who would like to have a word with the city of Columbus about that principle.
Right.
Because, yes, they go to the dark web.
Right.
It's part of their jobs. They do it. It doesn't make them criminals.
No. Just like a reporter, talking to a source, with the dark camera there, and the guy could be from the mob or he could be from whatever.
Right.
Just the reporter associating with that person asking about what happened is not a criminal themselves.
Right.
But the logic of Columbus, Ohio
is that he's involved with the criminals on the dark web.
Right. And this is all back to the whole idea of doing your own research, right? You did your own research, you came up with the answer, and they didn't like it. And this is the beauty. Remember when blogging was a thing, Dennis? And everyone was like, oh, we're a blog and citizen reporters. This is an individual who has actually found the truth and is being gagged by his government and the legal system.
I can only hope that order is going to be lifted very soon. I'm going to give the judge maybe the benefit of the doubt, kind of being stupid about technology and not understanding and probably going along with the filing preliminarily just before he actually hears any of the arguments about, what really happened.
Right.
But that's another problem, too.
So we'll put the story up here. There's all sorts of places that are running this information. I mean, Brian Krebs, they'd lock him up in 5 seconds. I mean, he's always...
Oh, he actually corresponds with some of those Russian hackers.
Right.
And
that doesn't mean he's a hacker or a criminal.
He's the opposite. He's telling you all about them.
Right.
And they don't want him to.
No. When your government tells you this guy is, I don't know, red. And you're like, no, it's blue. And they put you under they say, no, it's red. And you're going to be arrested for saying it's blue. I don't know what to tell you. But that's where we're getting to at this point, guys. Maybe artificial intelligence can help. I mean, this is that you can ask the computer because it actually Skynet went live. This is the date, right? It goes live. It was like yesterday at 2 a.m. or something like that. It went live.
Yeah, something like that.
Eventually, you can say to the computer, hey, is this Columbus guy full of baloney or not? And the computer will respond back.
Yeah.
But it is sad. It's sad that in this day and age that this mayor thought he could even lie. Or she, I mean, it's a guy or girl. They could even lie. Okay. About this. It's the thing about... It's data. It is there or it's not there.
Right.
Now, the bad guys do try to trick you, right? They try to find some data to make it look like they hacked and get paid for doing nothing. There is a whole group of folks that do that, too.
Without doing any kind of research on that data, you don't know if maybe it was the data that they have offered might have been in some other breach that they got their hands on. And now they're re-releasing it on the premise that they went and got it, and now they want to auction it all off.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's why you need researchers like this guy to look at the data, check it out.
Yeah.
Maybe backtrack the hack and then see what happened.
Yeah.
But if you've got a judge telling him that he can't do it.
And he's a criminal. He's got.
And you are implicitly calling him a criminal.
It's awful.
I mean, it's really unconscionable. That's the word that I used originally, and I stand by it.
Yeah, we're going to try to get Good Wolf on our show. No promises, because, you know, well, whatever. But we'll try, because I think this is just a sick story. Anything else you want to bring up, Dennis?
Yeah, we've got a problem with some ARFID cards.
Okay, RFID, yeah.
Yeah, RFID. It's a very simple little thing that people now are using all the time without even really realizing it.
Yeah, it could be in your rugs, your clothes.
Now,
it could be in
there are some RFID manufactured circuits. It's essentially a circuit that you paint onto a card and then it gets embedded in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those circuits are supposed to have an encryption method on them.
All right.
However, it is too simple for what it does, and it can be worked around. And people can then manufacture another card of their own that they have and then use it to swipe in. They can use it to get access to a place if there's an RFID lock on something.
Like a hotel door?
Yeah.
I've seen there's plenty of stories of that type of thing happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But this is a whole realm of manufacturer of these RFID circuits that was released over a long period of years that is now out in the world. And a lot of, you know, doors and other things are now operating based on that.
And so you can actually do a copy of it, a counterfeit of it, and then create your own RFID card to open locks and do
correct.
All these things yourself. If you're
theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, It all depends on what types of circuits people are using in their facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't a guarantee that somebody can get into something in particular, but there's just a lot of them out there, and there are going to be compromises over it. So
because there's so many out there already.
Right.
That's the biggest issue here is
the
fact that these are out there, and then you can create your own counterfeit card to produce the
same result. And one of the problems with it is that there's no way to patch these things.
Right.
Because it's all hardware. I mean, it's how the circuits are built. So
yeah.
You can't. It's not like you can like download an update and then fix the problem.
No,
the
you're
way
replacing
you do with
them
software.
All. You're going to replace them all.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of upgrading that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Is there a specific manufacturer people should be aware of, or is there a way to know if your security system is compromised?
It's a whole class of RFID circuits that were built over a long period of time that are subject to this particular exploit.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay. Thanks, Dennis.
I didn't, you're welcome, but it's very scary.
A little bit. In other news, the U.S. government is suing Georgia Tech over alleged cybersecurity failings as a Pentagon contractor. So here in Connecticut, there's a lot of manufacturers here in Connecticut that make parts for all sorts of military and DOD contractors, from Pratt & Whitney and Electric Boat and Sikorsky, Honeywell, excuse me. And basically, you have to follow something called NIST 800-171 and or CMMC 2.0 so that you can at least explain to the government that you're trying to protect government quote-unquote CUI secrets here as far as how things are made and manufactured so that we don't just give them to the Chinese and they can go ahead and build them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so Georgia Tech is actually they're a contractor for the government, and they refuse. This is the Astrolovus lab was accused of failing to implement anti-malware solutions across its lab. This is like the most basic thing you need to have these days, right, Dennis?
Right. It's correct.
And they refuse to do it. I mean, you can't make it up. You're a government contractor, and you're just saying, nope, we're not going to go ahead and do it.
Well, part of the problem is that the feds are suing Georgia Tech for having claimed that they did have the anti-malware software in there, but they didn't.
Because that's
this is not a case where you were dealing maybe with cyber researchers who are purposely setting up like a honeypot.
Right, right.
Where you really are leaving malware off of a computer somewhere or right. off a virtual machine
right.
because you want to see what's going to happen to it.
Isn't that like working with the bad guys, though, Dennis? That judge might cause some trouble.
But they gave them
scores.
This is not that kind of a thing.
Right.
I mean, this was research that they were doing in a normal manner, and they were supposed to have anti-malware on the computers, and they didn't.
And there's a scoring process. That you actually can do a self-evaluation. And these guys gave themselves a score of 98, which was, again, deemed to be fraudulent based on these factors. So, you know, you can go ahead and do a self-assessment, put the whatever numbers you want in there. But if it's found out by the contractor, the DOD, the Department of Defense themselves, that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to be in some trouble. And we're going to find this in October of 2025 when all of the manufacturers here that are working with contractors need to be, quote unquote, CMMC 2.0 compliant by that date, which is a little more than a year away. The funny thing about that date is they've set that date now for about 4 years or 5 years. I'm not even sure when you have to be HIPAA compliant, frankly, these days. So, again, this is part of the department's Civil Cyber Fraud Initiative, and they're going after Georgia Tech. Separately, there's a congressional probe into its potentially problematic relationships with China on top of that.
Right.
So Georgia Tech's got some issues, it seems. And if you're putting scores in for yourself that are artificially high, it's kind of funny. I had a financial client for like 20 minutes, really, basically wanted us to put all of the security on his financial systems, had right. the SEC do his thing, and then he had us remove him.
No.
Swear to God. And this is the same kind of thing. Georgia Tech saying they put it in place. Here's my score. And now they're getting in trouble for it. So NIST 800-171, CMMC 2.0. There's a lot of controls to go through to get it right.
It's a ton of stuff.
And we have a great tool at Tab Computers. It's called our Tab Compliance Manager. It's kind of like the TurboTax of compliance. It allows you as the business owner, whoever has to deal with this type of compliance, to kind of manage their compliance affordably. Because this is an expensive process. You got to get proper tools in place. You can't not have anti-malware. So yeah, you got to pay for that. You can't you got to have security awareness training, two-factor authentication, MDR technologies. You have to be doing all sorts of things as far as your process and procedures. And we have a great tool that allows you to figure all that out fairly inexpensively. Compared to the old days. The old days, you'd pay somebody like $15,000 and they tell you where your shortfalls were, and they said, good luck. I'll take my money now. Now you actually have both the tool and that kind of that gap assessment kind of built in. So we'll put a link up here for you, and be careful. The government might be coming for you. You never know.
Ooh.
Anything else you want to talk about before? Yeah, we have a few minutes before the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, I was thinking about bringing up a study that's been done about IT projects.
Sure.
And we all know how some of those work.
Yes, we do.
A lot of them fail.
Yeah.
Or they get pulled back and then redesigned and then resubmitted.
Yep.
And what this study has shown is that IT projects that involve AI are failing 80% of the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is about double the normal failure rate.
For IT projects.
For IT projects. Now, that's telling you that the failure rate for IT projects overall is about 40%.
Right.
And that seems really high to me. I mean, how can I put this? I completely believe it because I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, if 40% of the time you aren't meeting your mark, I think you kind of have to start rethinking stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's been the industry It's been an industry-wide figure for a very long time now, decades.
Yeah, there's always a disconnect between what the company says they want and what the IT persons end up implementing.
Yeah, and if you talk to the developers, they'll complain about the company that's, you know, giving them the requirements, and then the people who are coming up with the requirements are going to complain about the developers.
Yeah.
And it just goes around and around and around.
And AI now is double that.
And AI is making it, yes, twice as bad.
Well, so again, AI is coming. We're all in agreement. Data centers are being built. They need to be built to manage this AI technology. Although it just feels to me a little .com-y, 2000.com-y bubbly type of thing. It's just not. I mean, I would love it to be ready for prime time. And people are using it, right? Don't get me wrong. I understand people are using AI to do some amazing things, right? It's just we're not going to have Skynet. I want Skynet in a good thing, not where it just destroys all the humans. But we're not going to have that technology. We're not going to for a bit. Now with technology, it goes so fast. You know, what is a bit to me? You know, I'm in my mid 50s now, and I started this in my mid 20s. Lots of change since then. So, could it be 5 years away from actually being able to talk to your computer and having a good conversation, and then the computer coming up with ideas that you haven't thought of? Or is it going to be 20 years for that? Is it going to be where we can? You know, we had Peter Kelly Detweiler on talking about energy and actually talking to the computer and saying, hey, how can I manage energy better so it's more efficient, rather than asking a human to figure it out? I don't know. Is it 10 days? Is it 10 years away? Is it 20? Is it two? I don't know. I don't think it's two.
No, it's not two. And I don't think it's five.
And when you're hearing 80% are failing, you look about the investments, right, that are out there. You know, just like us in the dot-com bubble, you know, I don't know about you, Dennis, but I jumped on a couple of dot-com things that I thought were going to be here. Like I bought early on broadband internet,
yep,
because I thought it would be a thing. And guess what? It was. But yeah, the company that I purchased didn't survive, right?
Oh.
So clearly they didn't know what they were doing. Which AI company do you pick here where you're going to be like the pick in the next Amazon? Because for 20 years, Amazon didn't make any money.
Right.
But if you picked them, you did pretty well. Apple was bailed out by Microsoft. If you picked that stock back then, you know, that's all you needed.
Right. Yeah.
What's the AI company that's going to be the one?
Well, there's OpenAI, there's Anthropic, there's a whole ton of them.
I know. Actually, the funny thing, I was reading about an AI bot that is actually crushing people on the in the market trying to pick stocks.
Oh.
They gave it like a grand, and it, you know, quintillion tupled its money here, picking the stock market all on its own. So imagine being a day trader and having a bot day trader do it for you.
Oh, wow.
So maybe we'll just ask the bot. Maybe he knows. It knows.
Whoa.
Wait, ask the AI which AI is going to win, and you'll be fine. What could go wrong? We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything we've talked about will be posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, even Zuckerberg has now admitted he won't block it anymore. So it'll get there into your news feed. And of course, if you follow us, Tab Computer Sys on X, it'll definitely get in there because that's Elon. We'll be right back.
Computer Talk with Tab is powered by GoNet Speed, bringing you lightning-fast fiber internet. Visit GoNetSpeed.com for pricing and availability.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock. Four lines wide open for you on this Labor Day weekend. 860-522-9842. And we're commercial-free thanks to the great people over at GoNet Speed. We will be looking for a new sponsor at some point going forward. So if you're a company or entity out there that appreciates what we're trying to do here for everybody for the nearly 30 years, the goal is simply to give more time to talk about stuff.
Yep.
Rather than being interrupted. But that is commercial radio, and it is what it is. So feel free to get online, 860-522-9842, and we will do our best to help you out. As we wait for your calls, did you want to bring up something, Dennis?
Well, yeah, I've got another AI story.
AI stories aplenty.
Now, this one has to do with something that is being done with AI.
All right, a beneficial thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Imagine that you're a cop.
I would never be able to do that job, so I can't imagine it.
Okay, I can't either.
Such a hard job.
Let's say you do something like you have a traffic stop.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
Let's also say that you've got, you know, a body camera mm-hmm. that's recording the whole thing.
Yep, perfect.
You stop the person, maybe yep. you give them a ticket for having a taillight that's out.
Right, right.
And, you know, everything's okay. It doesn't take long.
Yeah.
But you have to head back to the station and you have to file a report on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to sit there and you got to type up what you said, what the person said, what kind of ticket you gave them. You got to have their license
you
number.
Put your time in.
Okay. There's a lot of stuff that goes into a report, even for a short little traffic stop.
Gotcha.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there's AI that can do that for you.
I love
either
it.
Most or all of it.
That's awesome.
What the AI product that's being used in some police departments will do is it'll take, let's say, the recording of the traffic stop.
Mm-hmm.
It'll, you know, generate a transcript and it'll use that to generate a report about the traffic stop.
That's beautiful.
And you might have to add stuff to it, like maybe the driver's license number or something else.
Right.
But it's going to have the date and the time and the location, because that's all coming from GPS information.
Yeah.
It's going to have basically what happened during the stop, because that's all part of the recording that was made.
Right.
And bang, you've got a report. And you can get back on the road and patrolling instead of having to spend half an hour or whatever typing up the report for a 5-minute traffic stop.
Yeah, we'd love to have them on the road. Yeah, get out there.
So
yeah.
it can be a time saver.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, and of course, on the flip side is how well does the AI listen to the transcript of the recording and how well does it understand what happened during the stop? When people are in a traffic stop, they are not talking in normal ways. There's a lot of jargon that gets said.
Well, right. Nobody knows how fast they were going.
Right.
Do you know how fast you're going? No, I don't have no idea.
Right. And I mean, at any rate, there's a lot of things that don't fit within the normal language models that exist that most AI is depending on. So how well can it generate that report? I don't know. I mean, it might do a good job for all I know. I'm just kind of throwing out the possibility that it might not be as good as people think.
Mm.
There are some police departments that are using it, that they like it.
Yeah.
And they use it only in very simple situations like I described.
Right, for now.
They don't. I mean, if there's like a homicide investigation, they're not using AI to write that report.
No.
Okay. It's just not going to work.
But the routine stuff, that's the idea where AI can really help you, is that routine
stuff. They can step in with those little things and you're not spending a half an hour on something that only took you 5 minutes in real time.
I mean, hopefully, even if you think about AI, that type of thing used in maybe a doctor visit, because it's weird, right? You know, as you get older, you go to the doctor more often. But I find that I'm right across from my doctor and she's literally on a computer the whole time.
Yes.
Typing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, not like looking at me. She's looking at the screen.
True.
And wouldn't that be great if that you could have that type of AI running where the, maybe not that physical is recorded per se, but maybe it would be recorded. Who cares, right? They're going to type in. You know, it hurts when you do that. And she's going to say, well, don't do that. And then she'll say, here's your bill. And I told you not to do that.
And it'll hand you a piece of paper that's printed out by the computer that says, stop doing that.
This is the kind of technology, I mean, especially in law enforcement, man, to keep more officers out in the field rather than writing reports, maybe even having the report written before he even gets back off the street. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, yeah.
And you get cameras, too, on the cars and the vehicles that actually could capture the license plate, capture the color of the car, capture whatever they need.
A lot of that stuff could get sucked up by the AI, yes.
Yeah. I like that. That's great. All right, let's get to your calls. We got Doug out there who wants to talk about Go NetSpeed. What's happening, Doug?
Good morning.
Morning.
I listened to you guys for a few years, and you started talking about the GoNet Speed.
Yeah.
And finally, they came to our town about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, nice.
Great. And they said, yeah, we can hook you up. The problem is they stopped one pole before my house, and they didn't finish the street. It's a small street.
Oh.
So I call up again, and they go, okay, we'll send somebody down. And for about, 6 months back and forth, they finally, one guy shows up and says, do you mind if I hook the wire up to the other side of your house? We can reach it from the pole. I said, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So we really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
My wife said, oh, it's so much faster, it's cheaper.
Yep.
But then we had a problem with email. We lost our email.
Yep.
And we called up and they said, well, we don't support email. You can use something else.
Right.
So my wife says, get rid of it.
Oh, geez.
So I only had it for a day, and I...
Well, that's silly. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I've had those conversations with my wife as well.
Anyway, Cox got rid of their email.
Got rid of their email, yeah.
Right.
I know. And so, you said to her, I told you, honey.
So I just thought it was funny that we waited for so many years, Cox, that they finally showed up in our area, and we kept it for a day. But I enjoy your show. Thank you very much.
Well, very good. And Doug, I mean, if it's right there and connected at some point, consider going back because...
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because all of us, when it comes to email, need to stop thinking of it as something offered by the internet provider anymore. It is a way that they keep it sticky. It is a way that they keep you from making a change, right? Imagine if you bought a car and you could only use one brand of gas.
I know.
Yeah.
So... We're thinking of going back.
Yeah, you should. And then, of course, for your email, instead of using what's included with any internet provider, in a case GoNetSpeed doesn't include it, you would use a third party, and we recommend Proton. Create your own. And so you can say, hey, honey, I want to have our own email boxes, and guess what? We're not going to be at Cox or at Yahoo or at whatever. You're going to be at whatever your last name is. Wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah.
That would be the way to go. And guess what? Now you pay for it. It's encrypted. It's secure. And
you get tech support for it.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong and you need help with it, you've paid for it, so they're going to help you.
Right. And that's where we should be going because our email is really the biggest vector where the bad guys get into our stuff.
Right.
So
that is true.
That was an ironic story, though.
But we couldn't wait. They're coming to our town.
Yeah. Well, tell it. Well, yeah, so here's the thing, right? You got to remind your wife that she was wrong.
No, I don't do that.
I don't either. There's no upside. All right. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. But that's how they market. That's how these internet companies force you to stick around. I've had other people say, yeah, we didn't do it because phone lines. It's like, oh, my goodness. You're just holding yourself back from getting a high-speed, low-cost service because you want to use the old copper line. And guess what? It's probably not even copper anymore. It's emulated copper happening in most cases. So, don't let them lock you in anymore. You don't have to. You can have a choice. And the beauty of having that choice means our internet service prices go down across the state.
Right. Because there's now one more competitor around to provide the service.
Right. And for me, like, I don't know if this does anything for my electric bill, but I'm not going to ever use Eversource's actual generation rate. If we all did that and didn't pay them a third of the bill, I got a feeling. Now, here's the thing. They get to make 10% no matter what. They're just going to increase the distribution charge of the money of the because they get to make 10% period, whether
they
we do it or not.
They have that guarantee, yeah.
Yeah, so we're kind of screwed there when it comes to being the consumer when it comes to our energy bill. But at least with internet, we can do that. And until we get our local nukes, right? We talked to Peter about that, having a little nuke in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure a lot of people are going to love that, but it is actually coming.
It's coming.
Whether you want it to or not.
Yeah, I'll take it. Anything else you want to bring up? We have four lines wide open, 860-522-9842. You guys probably all figured we'd be off on this holiday weekend, but we're here live, a couple of pasty white computer geeks hanging out here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. 860-522-WTIC. What do you got?
Well, I've got an exploit that has existed in some IP cameras that are very common. This is a model that hasn't been made since, I think, 2017.
Okay.
But there are a lot of them out there, and they're in all kinds of places, homes, businesses, mostly businesses, I think.
Oh, boy.
Because I think it was in a, sold to industrial settings.
Is there a brand we should be aware of?
Yeah, it's in the article.
Oh, you don't want to bring it up?
Yeah, it's not one that I recognize.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not something that you you often see like on Amazon or anything
right
now.
Fair enough.
So it isn't something that people are going to bump into by accident.
Gotcha.
At least as far as I can tell. But they there's an exploit that can be taken advantage of by hackers.
Yeah.
If the camera is internet facing, and apparently a lot of them are set up that way whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, so you can actually check your cameras from wherever you want to check them. That's
right.
Why they're internet
but
facing.
But sometimes what'll happen is they'll use like a service which is tunneled.
Oh yeah.
And it's more secure because it's harder for the hackers to tap into. Not that they can't ever.
Right.
But it's just there's an additional hurdle there.
Right.
At any rate, a lot of these are just direct out to the internet.
Yeah.
Because that's how they had to be set up.
Yep.
And of course, the company that made them is not going to patch this exploit because they haven't been out for a long time.
Right.
And
they've been out for a long time.
Well, it's end of life for a long time.
Right. If you want to fix it, get a new camera.
Yeah, replace your freaking camera. And the reason I'm bringing it up is not because I think people out there have these cameras that they need to replace. I'm sure a lot of companies do.
Yeah.
But the warning is don't hold on to this old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it worked. I know it always used to work.
Mm-hmm.
I know it runs. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Right,
okay.
Right.
I've heard it
a lot. We hear it a lot.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
But the older things are, the more stuff about them can be exploited, and it isn't going to get fixed because of its age.
Right.
You kind of have to keep up with the times.
And so the exploit, obviously, it's a camera.
Right.
Bad guys can go ahead and check out what you're doing.
Well, actually, it can be integrated into botnets. So it looks like it looks like they're being used for all kinds of things.
So the camera can be part of a denial of service attack.
Yeah, and some other kinds of whatever botnet activities that somebody want to use, maybe malware distribution or something.
Well, and the
like
other
that.
Issue with that too, Dennis, is some people are going to be like, I don't care if I'm part of a botnet. Now, if you're in Columbus, Ohio, then of course they'd be like, "Well, then you're part of a criminal enterprise, and we have to lock you up."
Well, they would have to arrest you,
right.
And impound the device as evidence in your involvement in criminality
because you're part of a botnet and you care not. Ignorance is not always bliss. All right, let's go to your calls here. We're going to go to Jim in Summers next. Jim, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just want to give you like a little tip as far as like Yahoo.com or Google or whatever, or Gmail. You know, Proton would be great if it's like, you know, for your primary credit cards, your doctor, relatives, family members. But what the Yahoo and the Gmail emails are good for is like if you go to a website and they want your email address, you give it to them. And if it gets compromised, you don't care. You get rid of it and get a new one. The same thing with Google, you know, the phone number thing, Google Voice.
Yeah.
I use that for everything. So if I'm going to a website, say, if you want your car shipped from Connecticut to Florida and they want your phone number, you give them that because then you get all these spam coming in, even phone calls and text messages and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're done with doing what you have to do, get rid of the phone number, and you get a new one. So your primary email that you use for Proton should only be for a very important, very secured businesses and doctors and things like that. And all the other stuff, you could, you know, who cares if you get another email and, you know, you don't get, you get spam on it and
right.
You just get rid of it and move on to another email.
Yeah, I use my Gmail for that. I don't even look at my Gmail mailbox. I don't even care what's in there. And I just use that Gmail account for anything I don't care about. You make a good point.
I started a Gmail account and nobody had it. And all of a sudden, I don't know how they figure it out. I just get spam everywhere now. So
you
get rid of it, get a new one, and start all over again.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a little work for some of the average
folks.
You
really don't care about.
Yeah, but it's a good advice. It's a good way to go.
Another good use for those accounts is as a secondary access method for important accounts that you have. Sometimes like a bank will want like a second email address as a backup
recovery.
So you've got your Proton account and you're using that. But what happens if you can't get to it someday for whatever reason and you need a backup email account in order to access something? Well, you can use that Gmail or Yahoo account for that.
Yep, good point.
And you if all you do is log in and get those things, you know, that's fine too.
Good advice, Jim. It's a way to to go.
It's excellent advice.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. You too.
Thank you.
But yeah. So some ways to deal with the junk mail or not the junk mail. Like I wish I would have a garbage can right next to my mailbox so I can just have the the actual postman just take the junk mail, put it right in the garbage can, and just give me whatever couple of bills we get still the old-fashioned way. Let's go on to John in East Long Meadow. Morning, John.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm okay, except I have a major problem with my computer. I can't play solitaire.
You're going to use a 50,000-watt News Talk flamethrower here to fix your solitaire?
Well, you guys fixed me up a bunch of years back. I don't know if you remember. You probably don't remember it. But I, as I parted talking to you guys, I told them I had another problem. The cord on my mouse was too short, and I couldn't reach the Queen of Clubs. You told me to get a wireless. You told me to get a wireless mouse. So I'm all set with that now. But anyhow,
oh, that's too funny.
Well, anyhow, when I click on the icon for solitaire,
<he's not kidding.
laughs> you know, it comes up. I get a splash screen.
Yep.
It says solitaire. You know, Microsoft, whatever. And I get a little timer thing that goes round and round, and it just freezes. Nothing happens after that.
All right. Now,
wait a minute. Now I got to tell you give you a bit of information.
Yeah.
I went to the Control Alt, you know, the Task Manager Control Alt Delete.
Yes, sir.
And it shows that the Microsoft is, you know, trying to do something.
Yeah.
But in that line before you get to the how much memory it's using and how much computer space and whatever. There's a little leaf, little icon in there that I got an explanation for, and it says, the UWP process group is suspending processes to improve system performance. And I don't know what to do with that. And it's been this way for a couple of days. I'm just wondering if you have any hints.
That's kind of a generic. UWP is kind of a generic, right, Dennis?
Yes. Yeah. It's actually a component of Windows. I was going to ask you, is this Windows 10 or 11 PC?
10.
All right. What I'd like you to do is to go into the list of apps in your settings. You know, the settings app in Windows. And you're going to scroll down to that particular, to the solitaire app. And there should be a reset option, I believe. Let me take a look here.
Let me see. Now, of course, this is solitaire, but this type of advice could be applied to something more important.
Yes. You know, you got to establish priorities here.
Yep. I hear you.
I've gone to settings, and I go to what?
You go to apps.
Apps, yep.
And what you're going to do is open... Look for an option that will list all the apps. Yeah. And then you're going to scroll down to solitaire.
Okay. I've got the apps here, but I can't scroll yet.
It's probably building the list. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
How old is this computer there, John? Is it the same one we talked about way back when?
Yeah, I'm the guy with the tax problem. I couldn't run TurboTax.
Oh, yeah. That was a funky one.
Mm. Yeah, the let me see, solitaire. Where is it? Solitaire and casual games. It says it's loading.
Oh boy,
it's not.
You don't have much of a machine then. I mean, if it can't load solitaire,
I've been using it for years. All of a sudden, this is something new.
All of a sudden, yeah. Yeah, we hear that every day.
I do have a story about all of a sudden with Outlook, but it's crazy. It happened to me.
You know, it stopped working is what I want to say. Not all of a sudden. It stopped working.
It stopped working. It refused. Why don't we just call it Microsoft?
Yeah. Well, that's a general cover-all for a lot of the problems, isn't it?
I know. Anything you can think of there, Dennis?
Well, what I'm trying to do is to get it to where
he can.
No, you're not going to uninstall it. Yeah. You're going to reset the app.
Oh. I didn't even know there was a thing.
I clicked on it. And it gives me just two options, move and uninstall.
Is there a little, are there three dots that you can see next to that to open up an additional menu?
Let's go back. I don't think so. But let's see. I don't know how to get out of. Let me see if I escape. Is it gonna, no.
No. Maybe the uninstall. You don't keep the old scores, do you? You don't care. You're
no.
I mean, wouldn't uninstall be another option here, just versus reset, Dennis?
Well, if you uninstall it and reinstall it, it may
just be
restored to the same state.
I know, don't you hate that?
Oh.
Yeah,
they don't take the effort to actually uninstall, and they don't actually take the effort to reinstall. They just say disabled and re-enable.
Oh, wait a minute. It does say advanced options. Wait a minute.
Yes, click on that.
There it is.
And then you should get a whole page of things, and you may have to scroll down that page to get where I'm talking about.
Hmm. And then you're going to reset it.
Black. Yeah, okay.
If it takes a while to get...
happening. It takes a while to get to it, I guess.
Well, no, not a normal computer, it shouldn't. There's something up with your machine, John. This should not take this much time.
It's not been as good as it has been for years. It came as a Windows 8 machine, so that's
this thing's 10 years old. Yeah, John.
Yeah.
I think it's time for you to get a new solitaire machine.
actually, I have a Windows 11, a laptop. Laptop that works fine, but this is the one where I have everything on here. It's just that it says solitaire and casual games, and it says settings in the upper left-hand corner. And there's an arrow going across, just the dots are jumping, but nothing's...
All right. Well, what you want to... You're seeing apps, installed apps, solitaire and casual games. You need to scroll down a little bit.
Yeah.
There's going to be a section that says reset, okay? And within that section, there are going to be two buttons. Mm. One of them is repair.
Yep.
The other one is reset.
Yep.
You want to try the repair first and see if that works. And if it helps, great. Don't do anything more.
Mm-hmm.
If it does not help, you're going to do the reset in the same place.
And if that does not help, you're going to buy a new computer.
I got a new computer. I like this one.
I hear you, but it's 10 years old. You're fighting City Hall here.
This has been, I've been very happy with it. It works good. I know I'm going to have to give it up October? But until then, I want it to work just as great as it has been.
All right, you got about a year left then. Tick, tick, tick.
Okay, well, let's see if I can make that happen and go with that. Thank you very much.
As an alternative, Mike G. found an article about installing an additional Microsoft Solitaire app.
It has more
types of solitaire games.
All right.
Than the one that's built into Windows.
We'll put
but
the
you
link.
Get it from the Microsoft Store. It's easy.
All right.
We can post that link.
Upgrade, John. Thanks, Mike.
Very good.
Yeah. All right.
When the time comes and I have to, I will.
No. Upgrade the Solitaire. I'm just saying. Upgrade that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I understood your last part. Very good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, John.
Okay, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You can get on with everybody else's menial problems.
All right.
Now that I'm taking care. Thank you very much.
You got it. Solitaire's never played ran so great, according to the song. So I got a couple minutes here to explain my shame. So, Outlook, right? Everyone uses Outlook. Lots of people use Outlook. I use Outlook all the time. And for some reason, I couldn't go back more than 2 weeks looking at my email. But I could do it in other aspects of Outlook. I could do it in sent folders. I could do it in unread. But I couldn't do it in my inbox. And it was driving me bonkers that I couldn't go back more than 2 weeks. Literally, Dennis knows this because he's been involved in this problem. Of course, what do? I talk to my own techs at Tab, and they say, oh, you know what, Eric, you're running an old version of Outlook. Just upgrade to the latest version and see if that works. And it didn't work.
Somebody told you that?
Yeah, they said that. Well, they said that we saw issues with 2019's indexing, and that
We did actually.
Yeah.
That's not a lie.
Yeah, so I did that. Same problem. Same problem. I was literally pulling my hair out. I don't have much left to do that with. I'll talk to you more about it when we come back from the break. But suffice it to say, I'm a user too. All right, we'll be right back.